What sort of responses do you get about the Truth Happens campaign? Is it working the way you intended it to?
How about you provide me some context for the question?
Well, it's not really a regular ad campaign, so what kind of a feedback did you expect, and what do you really get?
Yeah, it was never anticipated to be an advertisement. It was intended to really speak about the values and the cultures and the raison d'etre of Red Hat. And when we use that, as you see, there's no promotional bent to it. It's simply, hopefully, a dialogue that we create with the viewer of the material that expresses the importance of both intellectual freedom and the importance of the freedom and the democratization of content.
So, do you think it works, actually? You know, did you get any feedback to that?
I have been around the world, and I have had that video precede me in a number of presentations where I have had groups, large groups, 300 or 400 people in India stand up and provide a standing ovation. I have had been on college campuses where students have actually, you know, applauded. It is certainly the most requested, probably, piece of Red Hat material we have. It's now available on podcasts, on iTunes. I think the overwhelming feedback, I'm sure largely because I think it tells a compelling message, has been positive.
All right, let's move on. A new version of the GPL is on the horizon. It is already clear that the mainline Linux kernel will not adopt the new license. Do you consider the GPL version 3 a dead end? Is free software going to be able to stay competitive with the current license?
Well, as you know, open source software in general has opened up the floodgates for many, many new iterations of licenses. And I think just like open source software, you will see the Free Software Foundation continue to receive feedback. I think people like Richard Stallman and Evan Moglen have both been receptive and certainly, like a good open source project, been challenging and pushing to see if they can get the best ideas possible into GPL v3. As you know, the sensitive items are increasingly around DRM, and I think some of the more media-centric activities, as well as the future iterations of the kernel. But I think for the markets that Red Hat is currently marketing to, the current implementation of the GPL has been satisfactory to most of our customers, and I think that the Free Software Foundation and our legal team continue to work with Evan and his organization to try to work through a positive outcome, but it's unclear right now.
About the DRM, do you think it needs to be addressed by a license?
The issue of DRM globally is a very thorny topic right now. You see implementations like YouTube popping up that I think are challenging a lot of historical conventions. You've seen the work coming out of Europe right now regarding challenging iTunes. There are certainly evolving media standards that are taking place in the marketplace. So I think part of it is the ownership of the content, and to the earlier point regarding the Truth Happens video, from a Red Hat perspective, the continued importance we feel for the societal benefits of free and unfettered access to content.
All right. Let's go on. One of the buzzwords of the past few months is virtualization. Red Hat opened a virtualization resource center and is planning to include its integrated virtualization solution in Red Hat Enterprise Linux 5. Do you think the virtualization technology will be the driving force of future software development?
I agree with you that virtualization has become an overused buzzword. The promises of the benefits of virtualization are inspiring to most of our customers that we speak to. Certainly better utilization of computing resource, potentially better management, potentially the ability to leverage a multi-threaded environment as customers move to 64-bit. All of those promises that I think virtualization will eventually deliver are compelling. The challenge, of course, is that it's introducing new ways of working, new ways of developing software, and new security paradigms. And I think it will be multiple years before we start to see virtualization be deployed in a mainstream fashion across the enterprise and government computing market.
All right, something else. The planned expansion of your development center in Brno, the Czech Republic, is set to make it the second largest in the world. What was the main incentive for choosing this region?
The Red Hat, since its founding, has always had a close relationship with academic environments. We sit here right now with its Collis taking place on the campus of North Carolina State University right next to its College of Engineering. So we in our strategies want to continue to be close to academic communities. That's the roots of open source. We want to make sure that we have access to highly trained and motivated students and professors. And we were very impressed with the approach of the Czech government and the academic leadership and their commitment to open source software development and its philosophies and teachings.
All right, across the world. In a 2004 interview for Business Week, you praised the Chinese government for its support of open source. Had there been any discussion prior to the opening of your Beijing office of the level of the company's involvement with the government? Is it just business as usual, or do you see a line which you would not cross?
Well, we have once again, to the earlier question, we have a strategy and a philosophy of partnering strategically with government and education across major geographies. That is part of our overall relationship when we enter a new market, like China or Czech Republic or Russia, for that matter. So I don't believe that there is a line that we will not cross, as much as it is that when we go into these relationships, we think it's essential to build strategic relationships with government and education first. And once we have been able to validate our capabilities and work as a good local partner with government, we then begin to develop the economic model.
Well, the Chinese government is not exactly friendly to things like the freedom of speech. And even though there were American companies that chose to comply with their censorship policies to be able to enter their market, so do you think Red Hat's behavior would be any different in such matters?
Our behavior to date, I think largely because we have sought to become a compelling local provider working in partnership with government education, and probably because the technology is at the infrastructure level, is probably a catalyst for the delivery of content more than how the content is presented or what the content communicates to the user. So I don't think that our business and our technology approach really is relevant to some of the censorship issues that Google and others have faced.
Right. Open source and Linux seem to be at the height of their popularity. The software industry feels their presence more strongly than ever before. Aren't you worried this might be another bubble in the making? What if the hype outpaces the code?
Well, you know, it's funny. I have seen the highest of highs and the lowest of lows over almost the last 10 years during my tenure at Red Hat. I haven't seen that bubble yet, and I certainly hope that we're not at the height of the popularity. I hope what you're seeing is that the market forces have now decided who will be the short-term leaders and winners. And I think for Red Hat and open source, it's got to prepare itself with both the industry leadership, with the development of an ecosystem and an investment structure so that there are future Red Hats, and most importantly, that the benefits of the technology are compelling, that customers would wanting to spend money for it. I think what you're witnessing is that open source software, both as a development paradigm and most importantly for the value that it creates for the customer, is really producing shocking results positively on behalf of customers worldwide. Red Hat is now approaching 1 million customers under service right now. So to think that in 2001, the marketplace and the industry pundits were questioning whether Linux and open source would ever make it into the enterprise market, to achieve this kind of market penetration in such a short period of time to a very demanding global customer base, as I've mentioned, validates the quality of software that comes out of the open source community, the benefits that customers are receiving, and certainly the economic model that Red Hat has been able to innovate.
And continue on that, where do you see Red Hat in 10 years? Is it going to be just more subscribers, or do you plan to move in a different direction?
Well, you know, I believe that over the next 10 years, governments and enterprises will spend over $200 billion upgrading and modernizing their worldwide computing infrastructure. So we are faced with an unprecedented opportunity as these markets begin to evolve their older and aging Unix systems, their older and aging mainframe systems, the education of next generation technical talent and software development talent around open source software and the development skills that come with it. So I believe that our current focus on the existing enterprise, as well as the government marketplace, is a marketplace that is fertile and largely untapped. But I would also add that we continue to do innovative work around activities like the One Laptop Per Child, around a technology that we presented in Nashville, Tennessee at our summit 2 months ago around Mugshot, which was really our crossover opportunity to get into really the social networking and the consumer marketplace with an idea that we continue to advance. So I think that from the philosophy of making content available, working in a collaborative fashion with global communities of use, and continuing to focus on the benefits to the customer as well as short-term financial benefits to the enterprise, I think our future looks very bright.
So what do you think about open source hardware or media content? Might Red Hat be interested?
Absolutely. You know, we've worked really hard with a number of a lot of the open source content providers currently, both on the legal side as well as on the strategy and deployment side. I sit on the board of the OpenCourseWare project at MIT, which we think is a very compelling idea. So yes, I think we want to continue to drive home the importance of free and unfettered access to content. As the numbers of creators around the world have access to devices, as more of the world becomes networked and contributes to an integrated network society, we think that open source software has a compelling role, and Red Hat has a compelling role in that space as it relates to media.
Now about the development. Let's say you would have the chance to employ Linus Torvalds. First, would you like him to be part of the family? And second, in other words, what do you think of the current kernel development model? Would Red Hat be able and willing to take the reins sometime in the future?
Well, you know, asking whether we'd like to have Linus Torvalds is like asking a basketball team whether they'd like to have Michael Jordan. You know, that the answer to that is obvious. I think both Linus's value systems and also clearly his technical competency are a complement to any organization. And his leadership and his vision for the Linux kernel and for open source software has always been inspiring to me. In terms of the Linux kernel development method, I think people like Alan Cox and Ingo Molnar and a variety of contributors around the world have clearly communicated that the open source model in the kernel development methodologies around with the tools and other key components will live long after the current maintainers move on to do interesting things. And that's really been the history and one of the great promises of open source software, that it's not dependent on a single individual. So I think we've continued to see very strong improvements in the Linux kernel since the 2.4 kernel release. I think Red Hat has always worked in support of upstream releases and working in tandem with the community. And you'll see another further evidence of this with the release of virtualization and how it leverages a lot of the multi-threading capabilities in and around the Linux kernel.
All right. Looking at your successful IPO, one has to think about VA Linux. In your opinion, where did they go wrong, and what did you do right?
The IPO was a long time ago. I think most people have forgotten it. I really don't know. They were a hardware company first and foremost, trying to sell Linux hardware at a time where Dell, IBM, Hewlett Packard, and certainly organizations with considerably larger scale and resource. We're selling an integrated Red Hat Linux combination with Intel and AMD chips, a competition for VA Linux. So you'd have to start first with a questioning about the economic model of the company. And then it becomes, of course, all of those other traditional activities like recruiting and hiring, clear day-to-day, hour-to-hour execution. But most importantly, as in any technology company these days, is an absolute commitment and understanding of your customers' interests and behaviors. And I think, as I mentioned, if a customer in an enterprise or a government marketplace had a choice to select Dell or HP or IBM hardware versus VA Linux running Linux, it was probably challenging for the VA guys to create a clear and differentiated position.
Right. And finally, last but not least, did you ever get actually a chance to wear a Red Hat?
My head's too big. My physical size, I have an Eastern European head. So I always, none of the standard sizes of which the Red Hats come with fit my head. I'm also very large. I'm 6'5" tall. So if I have a red hat on my head, I'd look like a lollipop.
All right. Well, that was the last of my questions. So thank you very much.
I just would like to tell you that how impressed we have been with the quality of the people and the energy of the government and academic leaders that we have had the pleasure of working with in Brno. I myself, along with our vice president of engineering, did all the research to investigate where we wanted to build a strategic development location and how impressed we were by the entire process and the quality of people that we dealt with. It was unusual, it was motivating to us, and we're very happy with our selection.
Well, I'm very happy to hear that.